You're listening to Radio Aryan at RadioAryan.com.
Hello and welcome to Truth Without Radio. Today's date is Friday the 13th of April 2018. It's unlucky for some. Maybe it's unlucky for us. I hope it's going to be lucky for us. We are lucky enough to have the producer of Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told with us tonight, Mr. Dennis Wise. Dennis, how are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm doing all right, actually. It's interesting that that you mentioned Friday the 13th, because when I first got the internet, you know, I was talking to this this girl who was into Germany and National Socialism, and she says, have you heard of the Knights Templars? And, you know, I had never heard of them. It's only since then that I've researched and got into all this that I realised what you were talking about.
Yeah, well, that's the source of it being unlucky on Friday the 13th, isn't it?
It's, right.
When they executed Jacques de Molay.
Yeah.
I'm sure there must have been some other things that happened on the date, but that's the only one that I'm aware of, and that was unlucky for the bankers and the usurers. It wasn't unlucky.
Well,
for us.
I think in the French Revolution, when they finally got control, the crowd were chanting revenge for Moulay, whatever we were called.
Revenge for Molay. They still existed, didn't they? Some of them fled to Scotland, and then they started up Freemasonry in England and Scotland, and then they exported the revolution over to France to get their own.
The Freemason Demolay for boys up to from 12 years upwards, who Bill Cooper talked about, and Bill Clinton was a member, I believe.
A Jacques de Molay Award.
Yeah, well, it was actually a kind of a fraternity.
Like the Kudenov Kalergi Award.
This is like a club for young kids to become Freemasons, as they became later on.
Right. And learn how they can damage the nation, destroy the nation, and bring about the New World Order.
Learn how they can do Dennis's head in, yeah.
Well, we're going to do your head in with questions and comments this week.
Yeah.
We've got lots of comments. You've been quite busy on your channel, haven't you? You've produced a new chapter in the Freemasonic Victors of World War II, and you've also got four advertisements for Communism by the Back Door as well. I haven't had a chance to watch them, but obviously I've seen the new chapter. We discussed that last week. But these four adverts for Communism by the Back Door, they look pretty popular as well.
They're not so much adverts. They are dual purpose in a way, but what they are little snippets from Communism by the Back Door, because I don't really think I think it were a bit ahead of its time, really, to be honest, for a lot of people. I think only since certain developments like, the Hollywood thing with the sex scandals over there, that people are beginning to realise that, you know, certain things in there are actually true. And so for little snippets, maybe 2, 3, 4 minutes of length, stick them up there and they'll get a couple of thousand hits in a day or two.
Well, they're timeless documentaries, aren't they? You know, it's not.
I like to think so, yeah.
Yeah, they're not concentrating on you know, the news that's happening right now. It's history and learning about parts of history that we weren't really taught about. Well, the first comment that we've got here is from Matthew McDougall, and this is a fairly common theme that we often have to address on Truth Without Radio. And he says, Dennis, I am sorry. Even though I am a true National Socialist, this is absurd. And he's referring to chapter 12 here. He says, black magic, occultism, all of that stuff is retarded. It's just a fairy tale, my friend. The true evil lies in Jewish schemes that are free of religion. Those who pull the strings stand above those who worship Lucifer, since their most powerful resource is money. Finance is all they care about, and thus it shouldn't be a surprise that they use the religion to destroy our spirit and sterilize our minds. This ain't no holy war. This is a war against the parasites. Aryan civilization must prevail. Jews are no demons. Don't give them that much credit. They are nothing but roaches awaiting to be trampled down for good. So what have you got to say to that, Dennis?
Well, yeah, I answered him not that long ago, actually, and I don't actually blame him, because the easiest thing in the world is to criticise and dismiss anything that you don't really understand. Now, I went on to explain, like, okay, here's some facts for you, not the fairy tales that you're suggesting. And I set up, I said, in 1919, that British Jewish Empire was the largest the world had ever seen up to that point, and it's even bigger today. And it's, like, even more ruthless than I know of, because, like I said, I've looked really deep into this, and life is worthless in this empire. And then he touches on the finance. He says that money's the main interest. Well, to be honest, I think that were long gone. I mean, when they print the money for free and then charge us interest, you know, I don't think they've got to worry about money. I mean, Google, for example, at one point, there was a mistake. Somebody made a mistake on the stock market, and they lost $400 million in one day, and they never even glitched. And then in Hollywood, for instance, I mean, how many times have you heard of movies losing 20, 30, whatever million, and they never go broke? That's simply because the Fed, who prints the money, finances Hollywood. So I don't think money comes into it anyway. And then I went on to explain to him that about just what these Jews do with these rituals. Now, let me stress, I mean, they believe in them. I mean, I'm not saying that I actually believe in them, but, you know, I have to be impartial in my presentations if I'm going to get the truth over. Because, like I've said many times, in this situation, even if I was a pagan, I'd still be saying the things that I've said during this documentary about National Socialism being Christian. Anyway, like I said, you know, I kind of try and explain this ritual thing to him. I mean, the Jews have been involved in ritual murders since they learned it off the Egyptians years ago. And usually it involves Christian children, believe it or not, round about time, say, like the Passover, you know, a lot of kids go missing. And even today, a lot of kids still go missing every year. Not accounted for, all right? Anyway, one such boy, I think he was about 12, I think, he came from Kiev. His name was Andrei, I don't know if you pronounce this, Yashinsky, who was kidnapped by the Jews, and then he was punctured with 45 holes to drain his blood. Now, there were 13 holes around the side of his head, which was an actual ritual sacrifice to overthrow the Tsar. And there's a book written about it at the time by V. Romanov, I think I've got that right, and it's called The Relation of Jews to Blood. Now, he describes Kabbalistic mythology used in the murder. It's the Kabbalah. In the Kabbalah, there's a separatic tree made up of four worlds. And each world has 10 spheres, which are then connected to 22 channels. And these channels all correspond to the 22 words of the Hebrew alphabet. Now, going from the separatist eighth, honour and glory, one would take channel 21, which corresponds with this particular word, which is shin, to arrive at the highest level, which is 10, which they call the kingdom. And a symbol of the shin then implies that the replica puncture holes are then used to honour this Jewish deity, many believe Lucifer, even the devil, and obtain the Jewish kingdom and then rule the world. Now, the wounds on this boy's, Andrei's boy's head was representing the part of the Sephirotic, I can never pronounce this word.
Sephirotic
tree.
Sephirotic. It's a sapphire. Yeah.
It was part of that tree, which was identical to the symbol of the shin. And to believe in these rituals, like, because you've got to study, you know, there's a need to know your enemy. So you've got to know what your enemy's up to. Anyway, he claims to be a National Socialist, and Hitler, the greatest of them all, actually put all this Masonic memorabilia plundered from all the lodges, put it on public display to show how they were used in the cult for the evil. Anyway, and then he said at one time that he felt there was a satanic grip on all parts of German society. And believe me, I think he didn't know he was in the Holy War.
Well, yeah, I think you described that really well. I mean, there's a lot in that you're talking about, Dennis.
Yeah, it's complicated.
Yeah, well, when they do these puncture wounds, they do them in like a certain number of them in a certain way or in a certain pattern that all fits in with
yes.
with these rituals. That's how they know that it's a ritual murder. And the guy at the time, that's a recent one, isn't it? That's just in the last
about
century,
in
I think.
The 30s, I think, isn't it? It's about 32.
Yeah, fairly recent one, but the Russian government have now said that they are going to investigate the Tsar's death for exactly. the links that it has with Jewish ritual murder, because the way that was done, the way the killings was done, fits in yeah. with these rituals as well. I mean, this guy that's commenting to you, I mean, he sounds as if he's a bit of an atheist and he thinks that religion is just about controlling
yeah.
people.
Yeah.
And I mean, you make a good point there that it's not so much what we believe; it's what they believe, and we know that this is what they believe. Yeah. And you can see it in the Talmud, you can see it in what the rabbis say, you can see it in the way that they behave. I mean, there's right the way through history we have reports of this Jewish ritual murder, and there's another book which you can read called Blood Passover, and that was written by the chief rabbi of Rome's son, and he was a professor at a university, and he thought he would study this because he thought it was libel. So he went and dug out all the documents and all the reports, and he was going to disprove what he thought was a lie about the Jews doing these blood rituals. And he wrote the book and discovered that it was all true, and that there was no way that it could not be true, because they were tried, in, as I said before, in the highest courts of the land. And the people that were actually being tried could tell details about the ritual that would not have been known to anybody else. They used words that people hadn't heard before, but that were actual Jewish words. And they were actually trading in the blood itself. And they had these special leather pouches, and they would dry all the blood out, and they would have it in these pouches, and they would trade in these pouches, and the blood formed a large part of their magic. So we know that they certainly do these things. And finance, and he says here, finance is all they care about, but why would they care about it if they can print it? They can print as much money as they want. That's not the point. Now, he is right here that this is a war against parasites. They're nothing but roaches. I mean, what he's implying there is that they are creatures of habit, and the Jews are creatures of habit, but they are creatures of diabolical habit. That's why they behave in the way they do. They're unlike any other race. They have a diabolical streak to them. And, you know, other people would be punished for doing wrong. Jews are rewarded for doing wrong. You know, we are punished because we come from God, and they don't. Their father is the devil, exactly as Jesus said. The more you look into Christianity and what Jesus said about them and what the Bible has to say about them, the more you realize that they are a diabolical race, and they're at the source of all our problems. And you do have to give them that credit.
Utterly ruthless.
Yeah, I mean, he says don't give them that much credit, but they've managed to take over white people's countries.
Exactly. You know, yeah, so, you know, they have been underestimated, but they do have this persona of often playing the victim, and a lot of people fall for that. You know, they have this vision of, you know, Schindler's List and Jews buried heads all limping out half-dressed, where really, they're just, like I said, absolutely ruthless. And he proves that with, you know, with a tank pulling up on the Irish football field.
Yeah, well, how can they be victims when they control the banks, they control the media, they control the government, and yet they claim to be this poor, oppressed minority that was genocided just for their religion? It had nothing to do with that. It had everything to do with their behaviour.
I always thought it was poignant, by the way, Sven, that they had rabbis with them on the day they took over the Fed. Now, because they knew what that meant, you know, once you get the control of the nation's money, they knew once they took the Fed over that America was theirs. And there was rabbis at this celebration there.
Well, they take the rabbis along everywhere, don't they? I mean, you see the rabbis with them in government as well, whispering into the ears of the presidents and what have you. But even the ones that say they're atheists or say that they don't follow Judaism anymore, they still behave like Jews. They've still been brought up to be Jews, even if they're not from a religious family, they still believe that they are better than everybody else. Yeah, they know their God is different.
It's interesting because someone came out with a comment and said these Zionists, you know, a lot of them believe they're the chosen people, and yet those in Israel don't really believe in God.
Well, they think the Jews themselves are God, aren't they? In two different ways. They worship themselves because they think that they are supreme and they're God's chosen people and what have you. But also in the Talmud, it says that God obeys the Jews. The rabbis got together and they had a vote and they outvoted God. And God has to do what they say.
Well, so I can believe that.
Yeah, so they're saying that they themselves are God. They worship themselves, and God works for them.
Which is what Freemasonry tries to achieve, isn't it, when you think about it?
Yeah. Yeah, well, all of that occult stuff, it's claiming that it's talking to angels. Like you were talking about John Dee and his Enochian language, and he believed that with the language he had, he could control these angels. Men can't control angels. You know, angels are super powerful beings. Yep. I think the oldest or one of the ideas are that they are the actual words of God when he spoke, like "Let there be light." Those words, light, yep. that was the angel of light, and the actual concept of speech itself, language, word, the word, that's Christ. But the words themselves that God speaks, that's what the angels are. I mean, they're incredibly powerful beings. But they don't actually have free will.
Yeah, I don't think this guy believes in them, though.
No, well, this is it. We said this before as well. It's so true. The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was to convince the world he didn't exist.
Yeah.
If people will never believe he's the one that's guilty for anything.
To be fair, there was a girl came on and left a comment saying after, I think, about episode 2 or 3, and she went on about the same old thing that, you know, the Christian religions, all Jewish, whatever. And I answered her. I said, "Yeah, I know I've heard. I said, I'm getting pretty sick of it at the moment." I said, "When you think that the Catholic Church fought Freemasonry for as long as it did, it even had the Jews in ghettos until the border came along and let them out because they knew the danger." I said, "Congratulations, you know, you've just done exactly what the Jews want." And to be honest, or to be fair, rather, she went on to watch the complete series and come back and apologised and said she didn't realise just how hard the Catholic Church, and I'm talking the original Catholic Church, fought against Freemasonry.
Well, if you take religion out of it, you know, it doesn't make sense anymore. You know, it's the fact that it is a war between the truth and lies. It's a war between the forces of order and truth against the forces of chaos and darkness, and it's two sides, and there are races associated with each side. And once you start looking into Christianity, you can see that it describes all that. It describes that there are nations that are goats that were purely created to be destroyed, and there are nations that are sheep, and they are the nations of God, the children of God. And one can't change into the other. And the goats were specifically created for the purpose that they carry out, which is to tempt us. They're there to be pricks in our sides and thorns in our eyes. These Canaanite races in the Bible. That's why the Israelites were told to destroy them all. They were told to destroy them all, but partially they couldn't. Shem. Partially they couldn't because Noah cursed Canaan to be a slave of his brother. And because Noah had cursed him for that to happen, you know, that had to happen. Because this is another thing people don't realize. And, you know, when you read the Bible, what they're actually saying, this is why it was so important that, you know, they couldn't just say, "Oh, well, I made a mistake saying that." Once the words come out of their mouth, that was it. Like when Isaac or Abraham blessed the wrong son, he couldn't just take that back because the blessing had already gone out of his mouth. And it's like when the kings made laws, they couldn't take back that law. That's why all the laws that kings have made, like the law of expelling the Jews in 1290, that is still on the books. That cannot be taken back. And the way that the Bible was written, and these patriarchs, when they said things, that couldn't be taken back because that is the way that things were. So it's an interesting bit there. You know, you've got a contradiction between what God says, kill all the Canaanites, and what Noah said, cursed be Canaan, he's going to be a slave to his brothers. And of course, the Israelites, they didn't kill all the Canaanites. There was some tribes that they let live, and they turned them into slaves. And because of that, the Canaanites then basically took over. Yeah, they survived, and they interbred with them. They eventually took over Judea 100 years before Christ, and King Herod was on the throne, and all the rest of it. And you would miss all of that if you just thought, oh, well, religion is just a way to control the masses. And you miss the depth of quite what is going on around us. You know,
exactly. I mean, this thing about turning the other cheek is often used as well. You know, the Christians just stand there and take it. Where, I mean, the Franciscan monks were fighting in World War II and in the Spanish Civil War. It isn't that kind of a gentle religion.
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? The religion has been perverted. It's been perverted by the Jews over the last century, but they've been doing it since about the 15th century. Before then, it served us very well. It served Europe well to unite and produce the
morals,
Christian civilization. Yeah, the morals, everything, and it was built on Greek philosophy. It was built on Plato, and these Greek philosophers and the cream of the knowledge of the ancients. That's what it was built upon. It wasn't something alien. It was built on European ideas. If you consider Greek ideas to be European ideas, then Christianity was built upon European ideas.
It's well, the thought of having four wives does my head in. One's enough in it, let's be honest.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's why they changed things in the New Testament, didn't they, really, and said, you know, it's better just to have one. But this is another thing. The Bible is very clear about what women are like. And if you read the Bible right from the beginning to end, women are causing trouble. Right at the beginning, you've got Eve.
Spice girls,
You've got Eve who rebels and eats the apple and brings death on the world. Then later on, you've got Lot's daughters who get him drunk and get him to pass out so that they can sleep with him because they think he's the only white man left alive. Yep. You've got the one that tries to seduce Joseph. That one that tries to seduce Joseph, remember? And he refused to sleep with her. And she said, he tried to rape me and got him locked up for 12 years. Throughout, it's saying.
Right, Tyson.
Yeah, you know, these creatures, they are beautiful. They might have a magical hold over you, but you cannot trust them. You cannot, take charge. And that's what it says in the New Testament. Yeah, well, it says the man has to be under God and the woman has to be under the man and the children are under the woman. And, you know, a woman shouldn't be teaching.
Well, I learned a long time ago, but the day I learned you can't work a woman out is the day I started to understand them, because they don't even know what they're doing themselves. That's just a tip for people out there.
Yeah, and they know that. They know that as well.
They do,
You know, they just push the boundaries because they don't have any natural boundaries. Men are supposed to put the boundaries there, and we have failed by allowing feminism to take hold. And you know, this is what we see.
There's to blame for that one.
The results of it. Yeah, again, it's the Jews that push it, but we are responsible for falling for it.
I'm not talking women, white whores, these traitors. Without these traitors, the Jews, the white genocide would still be a dream.
Well, they rely on us failing, don't they? They rely on us giving in to temptation. And if you want to resist temptation, then you need to have a religious backing for that.
Exactly, which is why Hitler had it.
Oh, and just one final thing before we move off religion. Sure. I'd also say that, you know, when you realise what is happening to us, sometimes people think, well, there is no hope. You know, how are we going to take back our governments? How are we going to take back our countries? And there's no hope. Might as well just give up. Well, if you have faith, then you know that there is always hope, and you know that we are guaranteed to win. But that comes from having faith in the promise that God made, and knowing that that's going to come true because you see the truth of everything around us and in creation. You see that as proof of God and proof that He will keep His promise. So if you have faith, you know it doesn't get you down. Whereas others,
it's like,
it would do.
It's nothing set in stone, is it? You know, things look like it's going to happen. Well, they don't always do they?
No, but we do know that we're going to win in the end. Anyway, let's move on. Let's move on to the next one of these comments. This is quite an interesting one. This is from Investigator. And he says, why are you calling the political left in England pieces of crap when it is they who are in trouble for being anti-Israel? That's quite a good question, really. They may be anti-Israel, but they're certainly not anti-Jewish, are they?
And they're not anti-communist, neither.
Yeah, they're pro-communist. In fact, that's all they are, is they're against the Israeli treatment of Palestinians, which doesn't really affect white people.
Not at all. I mean, let's have a look at it. Where the political left piece of crap? Well, they've been indoctrinated to start with, haven't they? Let's be honest. I mean, I've seen some of these anti-fascists. There's a screw loose, an absolute screw loose. There's no reasoning with them. And if they can't answer questions, then they'll just put the mask back up and shuffle off. Of course, then you get the other violent type as well. So that's why I think the pieces are crap, because they're just mindless morons.
There's no coherency to the way that they think, is there? I mean, they will stand up for the monks in Tibet, saying, well, they're being genocided by the Chinese, but they won't stand up for white Christians in Europe. They won't stand up for Christians in Syria. They'll stand up for Muslims, even though the Muslims are raping women. They'll claim to be feminists and standing up for women, and yet they will try to shut down any protests that are against Muslim rape of women. So there's no coherency to what they say. And just because they are against Israel doesn't mean that we should be supporting them. I will say about Jeremy Corbyn, I do think he has integrity. And sometimes I do wonder if he wouldn't actually make a better prime minister than Theresa May. But really, that both of them are absolutely dreadful.
Well, the thing is that Corbyn is soft communism. He does come from that school, doesn't he, of Fabian Society, which is a slow, slow process taken from the Roman general who always used to starve a city, you know, not a full frontal attack. So he does come from that school where nice and slowly things, we wake up and everything's communist. But I think the other side of it is that she's just lost the plot, I think. I mean, I don't think she was actually elected anyway. I think somebody was told to stand down. I think that came from somebody above. And she just had a free run then, didn't she?
Oh, she's awful. I think she's without a doubt the worst prime minister that we have ever had. She just does everything on emotion. She doesn't think about logic or the rule of law. She just thinks, I don't like Putin, so it must be him. I don't like national action, so we'll call them terrorists. I don't like Assad, so we'll just claim he's gas people with no evidence. She just ignores all the rule of law. That's all just gone straight out the window. But at least I think with Jeremy Corbyn, if he got into power, he probably would guarantee our freedom of speech.
Possibly.
She won't. That is one positive thing. But really, I mean, we don't advocate right or left, do we? I mean, nationalism is
centre ground anyway.
Yeah. It's just what's natural and what's right. Not what's right or left. That's all a distraction.
That's what these antifa has been taught.
Well, the next part of his question is, why did so many white nationalists support Donald Trump when A, he loved Israel, B, has a Jewish daughter, C, employs Jews exclusively? This means white nationalists are the friends of Israel and Zionism, right? Well, I would say that the reason why people supported Donald Trump was despite the fact that he loved Israel and had a Jewish daughter and employs Jews exclusively, because he also said he was going to build a wall, keep out all the immigrants, and he also said that he was going to ban Muslims. So, you know, that you've got two really positive things there that he promised to do, which he has had problems doing, and that rather outweighs the fact that he supports Israel and has a Jewish daughter. And he was also up against Hillary Clinton, who would have completely destroyed America. I mean, that was his main role, was to defeat Hillary Clinton. and he succeeded in that. So that's why white nationalists were supporting him, is because he was the lesser of two evils. That would be my answer.
Yeah, well, the problem is we're seeing now what we're getting when you vote for two devils. One might be a lesser devil, but they're still both devils. Yes, if Hillary had won, we'd probably been at war a few months ago. But Trump's acting like somebody that's just completely back on everything he's ever said. I mean, 12 months ago, he mentioned about Syria, saying how, you know, it was awful that we were involved there. First thing he'd do is pull out and etc. So he's just gone back on everything, like he's been now told exactly what to say and doing, and he's doing it.
Well, I really do hope to God that he doesn't go into Syria. I mean, that would be absolutely ridiculous. But he has gone back on his word as far as pulling out of Syria, or as far as making friends with Russia. And part of that is that the president really doesn't have that much power. I don't think.
That just goes to show, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, he's putting a list of Muslims to stop coming to the country, and it's not enforced, then he's a puppet, and he's nothing.
Yeah. I think he believed that if he could be president, he could do all these things, but his hands are tied. You know, as soon as he tries to ban Muslims, all these judges somehow stop it. I mean, this is the thing with democracy. This is why it was so much better when you had a monarch and you had absolute rule. The monarch could do what he needed to do.
Yeah, you know, a good dictator is better than any
democratic
leader.
Yeah, well, a dictator is just the monarchy with the monarchic rule, but without without the heritage, without the ethnic heritage. It could be anyone. That's the difference. I mean, the Führer, he had pretty much the same powers as the monarchy, and that's why he was able to get things done. But you'll never get...
Exactly. It's like when he says there's no Muslims coming in, no Muslims come in.
And this is just proof that democracy is a complete failure. Did you know, apparently, speaking against democracy, that's going against British values, Dennis, I was reading the other day. That's one of the
parts of it. Because the first step to socialism and then the second step is communism. It's always been that way. I mean, they say Israel's a true democracy down in the Middle East. Well, it is, but I mean, it's only a step away from communism, two steps away.
Well, they're a law unto themselves, aren't they? Jews in Israel.
just a bit.
If only we were allowed to do the same and protect our borders and make our countries only for our own ethnicity, then, you know, I wouldn't have such a problem with Israel. I mean, that is my main criticism of it, is that nobody else is allowed to do the same. Nobody else can do the same.
You know, they have these big marches, nationalist marches, and you know, they even
abuse
the black Jews.
Well, that's just a joke, that is, the black Jews think. It's quite funny, that. I think they were politically expedient at one time. They were actually useful to them. And then as soon as that time has passed, they've got no interest in them now. I think they've left them all in Ethiopia. Yeah, well, they've got loads of them in Ethiopia that are demanding to be let in, and that you know, they are Jews, and yet Israel won't let them. No, you're not coming in. And they do, well, they do send them to Europe as well, don't they? That's the other thing. They bribe Sweden to take them, any of the immigrants, black immigrants that get into Israel. Well, the next one, we've got Edler Wolf, and he says, in the light of all of this, do you think that Brexit is actually going to happen, or will they find a way around it and keep Britain inside the EU-SSR? I'm curious about your prediction, Dennis. So what do you think about Brexit?
Okay, well, I was asked this question at the time, and I don't vote because I don't believe... I've often said, you know, won by war, lost by war. I don't think voting ever solves that problem. So I didn't vote, and I said at the time when somebody asked me, I said, I don't believe we are going to Brexit. But I believe that the vote was so heavily against Europe that they couldn't fix it even if they wanted to. So now they have to act out this so-called democracy, because they can't go back on it, because that kills everything then. I mean, I know there's people calling for another election, but they've had this sham of democracy, and they can't really, you know, alter anything, because that's what democracy stands on, if you know what I mean, the will of the people, so to speak. So this will of the people now says come out. Now, I don't think Iceland took this long to come out. Now, granted, you know, we might have had one or two more deals than them. But when they come out, you know, all right, the EU weren't happy with them, like, and probably kicked them a few times, like, but they didn't get out in good time, and life went on. With us, it's dragging on that much. I honestly believe that if I said we're not going to come out, I don't think many people would argue with me.
Well, this has always been the thing, isn't it? We were expecting to come out the next day. I think David yes. Cameron was really shocked at what the result of the vote was, and he thought we would be leaving the next day. He said, "I'm going to step down because you need a prime minister who supported Brexit because you need somebody in here who wants to leave the EU." And we were given Theresa May who voted to stay, and then she prevaricated. And that's all she's done ever since is prevaricate and kick it into the long grass. And here we are 2 years later. We still haven't left. They're talking about leaving in another 2 years. They're talking about having 10 years of transition time where that's all the laws will stay in place. And we're going to end up at the end of it. It will say on paper that we've left the European Union, but I bet everything else stays in place. I bet we still have the same laws apart from ones which are going to harm us more, because they are going to deliberately going to make a mess of it, aren't they? Because they want to punish us for it.
Sorry, I don't think immigration is going to alter, because it isn't because of Europe that we have the immigration problem anyway. In England, that started with the excuse that the English won't do the dirty job, so we have to bring in people from the West Indies or the Caribbean. And then that excuse then went on to why they have to bring the Pakistanis in and the Indians in the following decade. So it has nothing to do with Europe. I mean, you know, I do believe there'll be Somalians piling here any time.
Well, the vote itself was a proxy for that, even though it wasn't a vote against non-white immigration. That was the reason why everybody voted to leave. It was their way of saying, we want to stop to immigration. And any time anybody was asked on the street, why are you voting to leave the EU? Everyone said immigration. And it's not because of the white immigration, although that has impacted on jobs, because that's white people.
Yeah, wages, yeah.
That's just white people. That's the same as Normans coming over here, or Saxons coming over here, or Romans coming over here. That's absolutely fine. That can be absorbed. That's the same people.
Their culture is not that different.
Yeah, but they just have a different language. We can absorb them, but people that are completely unlike us, that are different races entirely, we can't absorb them.
Want to change laws and want to change culture.
Well, they're parasites. They are invaders. That's what everybody wanted to stop. I think the only way that we might see something happen with this is if Jacob Rees-Mogg becomes Prime Minister. And that is possible. And he wants a proper Brexit. He wants a stop to immigration. He supports free speech. He's anti-abortion. He's anti-gay marriage. And there is a chance you could get in, because there are more people that support Brexit now than there originally was, because the way the EU have treated us, because the way they have spoken about us, a lot of the people that were pro staying with the EU have now been turned against them. So if they were to have the vote again now, I think we would win by even more of a landslide today. And if Theresa May keeps on prevaricating, those people are going to push her out. But the worry is, if she was to now put herself up for election, Jeremy Corbyn has shown that he has integrity. He is against going into Syria. Everyone I've spoken to says this is absolute madness. What's going on? Why are we following Trump into Syria? Everyone I've spoken to about this Russia thing with Skripal, they've said this is absolute madness. And on both those instances, Jeremy Corbyn has spoken out against it and been attacked by the establishment. But what Jeremy Corbyn is saying is what everybody on the street is saying. That's what everybody I've spoken to is saying, the same things that Corbyn is. So, the worry is that if there was to be an election, Corbyn could very well likely win it. In fact, I will say now, it's evens.
It's probably favourite, isn't it? No, I think it's favourite.
Yeah, well, he's favourite then, but I think there's an equal chance of Jeremy Corbyn or Jacob Rees-Mogg being the next Prime Minister. Certainly,
that's possible. Yeah, it's just that I just don't believe in voting. I really don't. I mean, I honestly believe that there is a shadow government, and that's where we lost the king, and that's where we gained Churchill, and that's where we gained May, to be honest.
Well,
it's
not
of a higher opinion.
It's not going to fix our problems, but it could alleviate them somewhat. And it's certainly not going to.
It'll do at the moment, won't it?
Yeah, well, it's not going to be a magic bullet, but just the fact that 17 million people did vote for Brexit is 17 million people voted for nationalism. They voted to leave the European Union, and that was a big boost. You know, that was a big boost for us to say, well, yep, we've been vindicated. We were right. You know, the country does want to leave the EU. The country does want to stop immigration. The country does support national sovereignty. Does support patriotism. So that was a boost. The same as Donald Trump getting elected. That was a boost. That said, yes, people don't want Hillary Clinton. They don't want political correctness. They want a border between North America and South America. Again, it was a boost for us, even though not much else has been achieved. And we did need a boost. I mean, come on, 70 years of leftist governments and nobody getting a chance to actually, you know, have their say on anything, if nothing's
been
done.
Well, I'd like to say, I'd like to think the second documentary had a lot to do with that.
With the Brexit?
Communism by the back door, yeah, with the Brexit, yeah. Because I don't think people realised they were communists until they saw that documentary.
Yeah, well, that certainly helped with pointing that out. Well, the next comment here actually deals with the Soviet Union. It's actually a quote. This is an interesting quote. This is from Dream Diction, and he says, "The most puzzling development in politics during the last decade is the apparent determination of Western European leaders to recreate the Soviet Union in Western Europe." And that's actually by Mikhail Gorbachev.
Freemason, yeah.
Well, he was the last, the last prime minister of the USSR.
Yeah,
so of the Soviet Union, and he's pointing it out that this, you know,
yeah,
this
I think
is
it was Reagan wearing it, who worked it out together. The wall come down, was it that one? It was Yeltsin in then?
Gorbachev. Yeah, I'm not sure if he was before or after Yeltsin.
I think he was before. I think Yeltsin was put there deliberately to, as a drunken bum, to, you know, make sure that Russia did sink into oblivion.
And Gorbachev was the one that started relaxing the rules a bit. And he stopped sending people to Siberia. He was just started relaxing things. It's interesting that he's pointing out that Western European leaders are trying to recreate the Soviet Union in Western Europe.
Well, he must have known that anyway, because he's a Freemason and obviously he's playing his part, I think. But he's right what he's saying. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
I mean, people think Reagan and Thatcher were right wing, but again, that documentary proves otherwise.
Well, in the next comment, someone is pointing something out that you appear to have missed, Dennis. And this is Bobby Sands. And he says, you missed radical feminism in that list of depopulation techniques.
I did, to be honest, yeah. I thought it was, I mean, I did do an excerpt on it in that documentary, but it were probably the least of them, really. The main ones were the ones what I mentioned, I think, which was, you know, the main one of the four or five that I mentioned was the immigration of a hostile third party.
Well, it is easy to miss these things sometimes, isn't it?
You know, not that many of them, isn't there?
But you're not saying that it's, you know, it's not important. It is important.
No. Exactly.
One of the most important things, isn't it? Taking the women out of the homes and putting them in positions that they shouldn't be in. And
well, this is what Jews do. They eat you from all angles. It isn't just one direction. You know, they take you at the knees, at the arms, at the chest, at the head. You know, they do what they do, and they do what they do really well. But to be honest, like Hitler says, you know, we're no match for the way that, you know, that they wake up in the morning and think of these things.
Well, they knew that if they could weaken the family, because the family is the center of everything. The government is based on that. You know, the family is the father, is the protector, and he's the guy in charge. And you know, the wife is under him, the children under her. And it's the same thing with the state, with the government. You've got and our civilization and the country. You've got the government at the top that is the protector, defends the country, and tells everyone what to do. And then you've got the people that work under them. And if you take apart the family, which is the central unit of hierarchy, if you destroy that, then it's going to go out from there to the rest of the country and affect everything else. And then you're going to have children that aren't being brought up by their mothers, they're being brought up by the education system, and the education That's system right. can brainwash them into accepting all these, you know, all these horrible things that we've been taught are normal, miscegenation, homosexuality.
Yeah, so after World War II, we had all single families, single parent families, you know, and such, which again affects the child's education, because there's nobody at home, in most cases, dominant enough to keep kids in line, especially if the woman has to go to work. So I do agree. It is attacking the woman side of it is an important feature. And I do know where this guy is coming from. I really do.
Right. And also trying to equalize everything, you lower the standards. If women are going to have to take part in everything, then you have to lower the standards. I mean, even the mathematics exam, entrance exam to get into the universities has had to be changed for women. They have to have an extra 15 minutes to give them a better chance. They lower the standards to get into the police, lower the standards to get into the fire service. The standards are being lowered everywhere to encourage more women in. And yet, why would you want to have more people doing something if that's not naturally what they are any good at? The whole drive towards equality is unnatural. It doesn't make any sense. You want the best people for the job. You don't want people for the job just because they don't have a penis. You know, what kind of a qualification is that? It's
Yeah, look at a boardroom when you see 14 people. To have 7 women there just because you want 7 women there is ridiculous.
Well, think about the distraction as well. They pay no attention whatsoever to the effect that women have on men. We have masses of testosterone. We are completely distracted. It hijack our feelings. And you got this in the workplace.
The women will be attracted to the women.
Well, there'll be fights over them in the workplace. There'll be blokes that that are just being friendly, and that will get mistaken as a come on, and they'll get charged with sexist behaviour, or there'll be women in a position of a boss, and she'll be the one making the moves on the men that are working under her, and they won't be able to say anything about it because they'll know that they'll get sacked or nobody will believe them. You've got all sorts of problems that are created in the workplace by having women there that just weren't there before.
It still takes me by surprise because I watched The Voice that weekend, and this particular girl was singing, and when she finished singing, she says, I'd just like to introduce you to my husband. And they went on, her husband in the crowd, and there she was.
A woman?
I'm in the middle of Babylon again.
That's just it, isn't it? You know, if you want to get on anywhere now, you've got to be homosexual or transsexual, black. You've got to be something different to all the rest.
A minority.
Yeah, not actually there through being the very best at doing what it is that you are doing. They don't want that anymore. And all that will do is lower the standards in everything.
Yeah, well, Lord
mine.
And they watch it for long.
Yeah, I try not to watch any television at all, apart from the news. Just watch the internet. Just watch your documentaries. That's what I would advise people do, Dennis. Just watch your documentaries.
Oh, fair enough, yeah.
The next one is the poet of the piano. And he says, the public vote is useless. You trade one party for another, but the agenda stays the same. Governments hold all the power to pass laws that protect theirs and their financial backers' interests. So the question is, if the vote is essentially useless to change things and protests achieve very little, then what is the peaceful answer, Dennis?
Well, there is no peaceful answer. That's the problem, because what's gained by war is lost by war. And these people don't hand over what they've won. Trust me.
Yeah, there is no peaceful solution. There is going to be war. There is going to be blood on the streets. But what we can do is try to avoid that and prepare for that. And what I would suggest is make changes in your own individual lives. I mean, we don't have the power to change the government. We don't have the power to do anything as individuals. That's why a lot of people spend their time on the internet moaning about it. But what you do have the power to do is make changes in your own personal life. Try to be a better person. Try to have nothing to do with ethnic minorities. Try not to get anything on credit. Try not to have any bank loans. Try to avoid drugs. Try to avoid being a drunkard. Try to improve your mind, body and soul. You know, go for walks, do weightlifting, do exercise training, do self-defense training, educate yourself. You know, all these ways of self-improvement. That's what the answer is. Improve yourself.
I think it is, yeah.
So, yeah, so when something, when the chance to do something arrives, you are prepared for it. I mean, nobody could have guessed that Donald Trump would have come along and beaten Hillary Clinton. That didn't come about through nationalist organizations getting together, nationalist organization parties or anything like that. That just came about because life happened to throw us that. And we took that chance. The same with Brexit. So that's what I would suggest is just improve your individual self and take the chances when they present themselves to you, when life presents them to us. That's actually our best chance,
just,
I think.
Yeah, you just reminded me, actually. I had a chance this week of having a debate with leader of the alternative, right, Richard, what's he called? I can't remember his name.
Richard Spencer?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and, that'd be good.
Because it was going to be in a forum and I was invited, you know, in, and but he said, although he knew of my work, he said I didn't want to discuss Adolf Hitler, which to me was like a waste of time me being there then.
Is that what the debate would have been about then? National Socialism?
Sorry, is that what?
Is that what the debate would have been about? National Socialism?
Well, he said he was willing to talk about anything. Only didn't want to talk about Adolf Hitler, which to me was a waste of time. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's a shame. That would be good to hear you discussing that with him.
Yeah, well, I didn't bother. I had other things to do.
Well, the next one that we have here is Dick Riley. And he says, purebred genetics is unhealthy, Mr. Wise. Look at purebred dog breeds, full of genetic health defects, but very popular, and people pay top dollar for them. So I guess what he's saying there is that, it's not worth us saving the white race. We might as well just give up and interbreed with all the non-whites. And that's going to be far healthier because purebred dog breeds.
Well, in answer to that, I don't class myself as a dog, for one. And two, I've never known anything grow strong when it's mixed.
Well, that's just winter. It. What this comes about from is a misunderstanding. When you have a diverse range of genes, that improves the vigor of the race, but only a diverse range of genes from within that race. Like exactly. if you were to have people from Sussex that would interbreed with somebody from somewhere like Dorset or somewhere like Wales, then that could be healthy because you're introducing people from further away. But if you were to have somebody from Sussex breeding with somebody from Nigeria, you know, that would be defective. That would be a discordant mix of genes.
Yeah, and it's a weakened drink, isn't it? Mix any drink and it's weaker.
Yeah, you don't want to adulterate the blood, but yes, you do want to... you don't want to be inbreeding in a population. You don't want to, like, this is a problem. Some of the remote areas, say in the highlands or in the rural areas, before we had much transport, you would only have a small group of people that were living there, only a small group of people to pick from for partners. And, you know, they wouldn't be that healthy. And this is why we have a desire to go with, you know, the women do with a tall, dark stranger, because somebody might turn up on a horse and they traveled for 200 miles and all the women would fall at his feet, because that would be healthy, because he only came from 200 miles away, because he would still be a white man, but he would be genetically far enough apart to bring out this vigor.
enhance it. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's been taken advantage of for a negative effect. This desire for novelty, desire for different looking people to the ones that are around you, that's now been hijacked because we've now got these other races in our territory, which we shouldn't have. Because otherwise it would be a healthy desire.
Well, to be fair, I think a lot of these faults with these pedigrees can be breeded out, but it's the actual breeders themselves what don't want it, want to, I believe, anyway.
Well, they want certain traits, don't they? Yeah. I think with dogs, that's the different thing. If you were trying to breed traits for intelligence with people, then you would be picking the people with the highest intelligence,
highest IQ. Yeah.
Or, you know, if you wanted to breed musicians, like you would breed them. Well, I don't know what my IQ is. But if you wanted to breed musicians, you would be, you know, you would be going for people that were musicians. It doesn't mean that
musically talented,
doesn't mean that
Hitler had it right. He said it, didn't he? I think he said something like that. If you mix the two races, the lesser of the race pulls down the other side, doesn't it?
Yeah, and you also always get the regression to the mean. If you have people that are super geniuses, then they will gradually go back to average. You go back to the racial average. Yeah. So whatever our racial average is, you know, the average IQ.
Well, you want to be as it can, don't you, really?
Yeah, it will always go back to that. This is the problem. If you breed with Negroes, then it will always go back to that. So if they have they suddenly have a very bright Negro who's got a very high IQ, his grandchildren will be back to the average again.
Yeah.
There's no, you know, permanent lift to the IQ caused by it. It always reverts to the average.
Next
comment. This one comes from Bean Smith, and he says, but why are there refugees in the first place? Oh, never mind that question. I love it when you right-wingers show your true colours. Stop complaining and pull yourselves up by your own bootstraps. So he's basically saying that we are the ones at fault for the refugees, so we are the ones that should be letting them in. Well, we're not at fault, are we? It's our government.
Well, it's obviously there's an agenda. But where our fault lies is we're easily swayed. And when they show a supposedly dead baby on the beach, you know, half the nation, then he's already, you know, in the lap of the Jews. We aren't even realizing it. And they're not even refugees to start with. These aren't refugees. These are manipulated migrants, who are helped by various means, financially and otherwise, to relocate into our domain while we are left to move out of our places and stand aside. That simple.
If they were real refugees, they'd be going to the nearest free country. They wouldn't be travelling halfway across the world to Europe.
Chanting Germany.
And if they are leaving their country because it's been attacked by our country, then they are enemy forces looking for revenge. They're not refugees, and we have no responsibility to take them in. You know, what this guy is implying is that these people are refugees because we've bombed their country. Well, if they are leaving their country because we've bombed it, then they are the enemy, and we certainly shouldn't be letting them in. Again, there's no reason whatsoever why we should feel guilty about it and wish to let them in if they're the enemy. Got a bit of a...
Oh, there's no guilt on this side.
No, not here either. Got a bit of a silly question next, but I guess it's a common one. This is from Sojourner, and he says, is Merkel Hitler's daughter? Have you heard this before?
It's probably serious as well, isn't it? You know what I mean? Like, I mean, these Schuckelberger stories, and, well, you know, Hitler was a Rothschild. You know, his grandmother had an affair with one at Rothschild. It does, you know, you throw enough crap at the wall and it sticks. And this obviously... He's wasted, what, probably 15 seconds of his life to write what me and you would think is a ludicrous statement or a ludicrous question. But it is probably quite serious. And obviously, she is.
Do you think she's more like Stalin? More like Stalin's daughter?
Yeah, that's more like... Well, the politics is the same anyway, it's Stalin.
More like Stalin. Well, we've got one final one. I guess we've got a minute to go. We could go a little bit over, I guess. Leafy says, thank you very much for these videos, Dennis. Do you think we will ever retain our heritage and culture after the intermixing in Europe. Just a question for the future, but not particularly now.
No, I don't think once that's taken place, it's gone.
Yeah, once the mixing has gone on, it cannot be put right. But at the moment, you know, we are still 85% white in Britain. You know, we could still put a stop to it now and go back to normal
as well and the likes.
Yeah, but once the interbreeding has occurred, then you can't return back from that. So that's what we have to prevent. And if you're not mixed, then just make sure that your children aren't mixed, and then you know that you've done your bit. Okay, Dennis.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for coming on today.
Okay.
Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. We'll be back next week on Friday with more Truthful Out Radio for you, and we hope you all have a great weekend lined up ahead for you.
To Radio Aryan.